Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's up? James Coe here, and you're listening to the NFL Fantasy Live Podcast. Joined alongside, as always, by the Wiz Kid from Wisconsin, Wizard from Wisconsin. When are you're going to have to eventually, Alex Keelhart, graduate to Wizard, I guess.
To Wizard?
Yes. You can't be the Wiz Kid anymore.
I do enter my late 20s officially later this month, so maybe that's time.
Maybe that's when you graduate?
Maybe that's time.
No, it's not. Late 20s is still so young.
So young.
It's so young.
Still Wiz Kid territory?
Yes.
You're still a damn kid, Gilhar.
On the other side of the glass here, we've got dudes in our late 30s and early 40s.
Yeah. Don't forget about that.
Okay, Michael Fabiano there, the Hall of Famer. And my guy, MG, Marcus Grant. What's up?
What's going on?
All right, big show in front of us here today. We got top headlines, of course. We reintroduce you to the fabulous fantasy game of Flex, Marry, or Cut. And then we're going to take a look at some algorithmic trade targets.
Some numbers.
Yes,
some
numbers.
Some math and stuff.
Math. Hashtag math and stuff, man. And then we'll talk about some waiver wire pickups, of course, on this beautiful, slightly chilly Tuesday morning here in the Southern California area. And, of course, we'll get to Daily Daps as well. Another rousing round of Daily Daps, I'm sure. All right, but let's first, by reacting to the Monday night football game, the Chicago Bears, San Diego Chargers. It was a pretty good game. Pretty good. A little slow first half, but really business picked up as old JR.
It was the Jeremy Langford welcome to the fantasy football party game.
Oh my gosh. Oh my. By the way,
dude, he's good, man.
Who else was freaking out when Kadeem Carey
everyone.
I'm like, bro, John Fox.
I was at the gym at that point, and so I couldn't like scroll through Twitter the whole time, but I was watching the game, and I was like, oh, man, people must be going crazy.
There were a lot of – the basic theme was – Carey's playing, I lost. That was the overriding theme of a lot of those tweets.
I didn't tweet it, but I'm sure a lot of people were thinking it. John Fox, you mother.
I'm sure a lot of people were angry, but then Langford
took
over.
Absolutely.
Langford did fantastic.
I mean, he looks so good, man. 18 carries, 72 yards on the ground, and then he added another three catches for 70 yards.
Including that beautiful diving catch.
That diving catch was ridiculous.
Doing his best Matt Forte impression out there.
Yes.
I will tell you this. If you were one of those people out there who didn't have Forte and actually grabbed Langford, you're really hoping Forte is rested for a few more weeks because Langford was good. Although he is playing the Rams this week, that's a tough matchup.
You know, that's the thing. That this was the week. If you grabbed Jeremy Langford, you had to make sure you played him this
week
because it was the Chargers. Because the rest of the schedule is hit or miss. I mean, there's still the Rams. I think the Broncos, the Packers are still there. So there's some games where you might be a little more hesitant. Right.
I mean, 140 and a touch. For Jeremy Langford, 100
and a 2-point conversion.
You gotta love the rando 2-point conversion.
Getting it all done all over.
Absolutely,
the place.
He absolutely sparkled and shined. And again, I've been talking about almost all season, really. So high on Jeremy Langford, man. I don't know how he fell that far down in the draft process, but man, I was.
If you're in a dynasty league, dude, you're like,
you
oh,
love it,
man.
Yeah, you.
Absolutely. Who has him in our dynasty league? I'm not sure, but
I don't even know.
I think it might be Alex Reithmiller, but oh man.
On the same side of the ball, Alshon Jeffrey, again, very slow first half, and then Jason Verrett got hurt, and then he had to have been the happiest dude on the field. He exploded after that injury. I guess one of his big plays came on the injury.
I mean, hey, Chargers, you can switch up your coverages. You can
you can
give help.
We're good, bro.
Give help over there.
The trouble is, they were trying to cover Jeffrey with a bunch of, like, 6 foot, you know, or 5'11" corners, and Jeffrey's 6'4" and can jump out of the building. So he was just posting him up a lot of the time, and he had a good day. It would have been nice to see him catch a few more of those targets. He had a couple drops early on, but
yeah, he did
turn into solid.
Every time Jeffrey has a big game, do you just like cringe?
Why?
Because you traded him for nothing.
Oh, me personally, James Coe.
Just personally, yes.
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 To take a peek behind the curtain here, I traded Alshon Jeffrey to one Mr. Adam Rank, my Danger Zone compadre. Four.
Dude, he the great robbed you.
Dante Moncrief.
He robbed you like the Joker was robbing banks in Dark Knight.
He dangled the March to 1100.
He totally took advantage of March to 1100.
He put it, you know what? He put it in my face, too. Well, actually, so I traded Alshon when he was hurt, and I wasn't sure what the injury status was, and it did not pay off.
But, I mean, that's a good lesson in trades is target somebody who is emotionally invested in something else.
Or go after a player who's injured who that an too. Owner might be frustrated with.
That too. Can we talk about the grittiness of the Chargers, though?
We are all grittinesses, yes.
We are all grittinesses.
Yes. Danny Woodhead, 6 carries, 33 rush yards. But man,
dude, by the way.
All the damage he did in the air.
Is there a more underrated fantasy football player than Danny Woodhead?
There's
can't be.
No.
The
no,
guy's in the top 10 in standard leagues.
Yes.
He's in the top 10. He might be in the top 5.
He probably is.
In PPR leagues.
He's great.
And every single week you get questions on Twitter. Should I start Danny Woodhead?
Right. Yes, you should play
what
Danny
other
Woodhead.
Do you want that right. You should be playing this dude. I mean, and he's good.
At this point, with all the injuries the Chargers have, who else is there?
What's great about Woodhead is aside from like two games where they just decided not to give him the ball,
right.
His like absolute floor is like 75 yards.
Agreed.
And he always has touchdown upside. So that's like if you tell me I'm going to get bare minimum 7.5 points and have the chance for like today
20.
A 17-point game
right.
Or 2 weeks ago a 22-point game,
right.
Like lock and load Danny Woodhead into the
thank
flex
you.
Or
absolute,
RB2 all
absolutely.
Day.
RB2 all day long, man. You know, it's funny, man. You look at the comparison, right? Danny Woodhead, 6 carries, 33 rush yards. And then Melvin Gordon, 11 carries, 31 rush yards. Not so great. And then, of course, through the air. I mean, Danny Woodhead, you kind of expect this. But six catches for 78 and a touch. And that wheel route was gorgeous. And Melvin Gordon on the other side, 3 catches for 25 yards. So it's fun. I don't know why the Chargers are still – well, I guess I do understand why they've got an investment in Melvin Gordon. But, man, the offense just clicks, and it just moves the ball a lot easier when Danny Woodhead's more of a featured player.
I'll say this, and the numbers don't necessarily bear it out, but I felt like Melvin Gordon looked better this week.
I agree.
Than he has in past weeks.
That I agree with.
It doesn't show on the stat sheet, but just physically watching him, he looked better.
I think we have to remember, too, Melvin Gordon is running out of a lot of different sets than Woodhead. Woodhead's coming out of the shotgun against like less stacked fronts. And Gordon, that poor San Diego offensive line, I think they're
decimated. Just,
I think they're grabbing guys out of like Italian restaurants and throwing them in there. Just like,
hey,
you're,
listen,
you're
you
pretty
what?
Big. Like, why don't you start?
You know, my Italian compadres, they're pretty good at blocking.
Right, exactly. And I think that's the case for them. So
a lot of vowels in those.
It's
names.
A disappointing season for Melvin Gordon right now, but it's not like that. What we can write him off because he's still a talented player. You can see it flash on the field, but he just needs a little help.
Yeah, man. MG, you hit it right on the head. He does. He looked a lot better. And again, as you mentioned, it didn't show on the stat sheet, but no, I think he's starting to get more comfortable too. He ran a different system there in Wisconsin, and changing systems is so underrated in football, is it not? I mean, people just think if you're a great player, you get dropped into any system and you're just going
to
be great.
Well, and I think part of it, too, is mental for Gordon. Like, they always say the hardest thing to get used to in the NFL is the speed. And Melvin Gordon was one of the fastest players in the Big Ten last year.
Oh, yeah.
So now he's not able to rely as purely on that, and he needs to get better at reading his blocks and trusting his instincts and making more decisive cuts. Because that's a big thing, too. You watch him, he always seems to take a half a second longer than Danny Woodhead because he's processing everything.
I'd absolutely cut him right now if I had a hot free agent to pick up.
I mean, this
he hasn't scored a touchdown all year, dude.
No, I know.
Scored more than 8 fantasy points in like 6 games in a row.
Right.
100% agree with you.
Just saying.
I'd cut him.
But it's,
cut him.
I guess at the
big picture.
I think also at the position, though, too, fams, right? Like, there's not.
Sure.
There's right. Not a lot out there.
No, exactly. So. If I had to.
For James Starks?
If I had
to. You cut him to pick up James
Starks? Oh, yeah. I don't know what's going on with Lacy right now, but I would do that.
I would do that, too.
Starks has been
in a heartbeat
pretty good in 2 of the last 3 games.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
So I want a guy who's going to score fantasy points.
All right.
I'm not sure that if Gordon gets dropped, someone else is going to immediately pick him up.
You might be right. No, you might be right. It's kind of like it's like a big reason why I was so scared to drop Amir Abdullah, right?
Yeah.
It's like nobody's going out.
Yeah, but at this point you're like,
"Oh, okay, great."
Nobody's going.
Well, it's true cuz like with both Abdullah and Gordon, you're like, "They're so talented.
They're so good.
Why
though?
Can't they do anything?"
I know. Phillip Rivers, 280 yards through the air, touchdown. He had an okay day.
Well, you know what though?
Great,
he
okay.
got jobbed. I mean, he had that touchdown pass to Gates that was called back. He should have had over 20 fantasy points last night, and it wasn't his fault that he didn't. But we now have the latest most popular meme online.
Oh, his face at the end of the game?
Philip Rivers' face
God,
at the end of the game.
God, that was incredible.
Yeah.
It's everywhere.
Yep, it is everywhere.
Let's talk about his pass catchers real quick, though, because he lost Malcolm Floyd potentially for the season. That looked like a collarbone injury to me.
That didn't look good at all.
Is that what the initial reports are? I thought it was more of like a rotator cuff or something.
I don't know, maybe, but it looked like he was, when he was walking off, it looked like he was doing the thing where he wasn't trying to like let the arm sag too much, like Charles Woodson in the Super Bowl.
I got you.
Kind of stuff. So we'll see. But Stevie Johnson, 7 for 68. Gates, 6 for 69. I guess Dontrell Inman's is a pickup now too.
But what did he do last night? I mean, he didn't do anything.
Yeah. He is a good player. He tore up the CFL and he has done stuff in the NFL when he's had chances. Last night, primetime, not his greatest showing.
No. You look at the targets here. Danny Woodhead had 10 targets in the receiving game. Antonio Gates had 11, which was kind of to be expected. And Stevie Johnson had 10. Dontrell Inman had 5.
And then some guy named Javonte.
I was like, who is this guy out here?
If you picked up Stevie Johnson, you've got to be happy the targets. He had, what, 10 targets last night?
10 targets, yep.
Mm-hmm. And he had a decent PPR night.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But in standard leagues, he didn't give you too much.
And he got shoelaced right at the goal line.
And he almost scored a touchdown. Right, exactly.
So you got to like his upside moving forward, though, too.
I agree with that.
10 targets, certainly. Shoelaced at the goal line.
Certainly. Now, in your opinions, this was Rivers' worst game in a while. Have a lot to do with Keenan Allen not being out there?
Might be.
Has a lot to do with
time to sell high on Rivers?
Oh, yeah. I would 100% do that.
Yeah?
First of all, I hate using the "we saw this last year" narrative, but we saw this last year.
Yep.
He tailed off considerably in the back half of last year. Because remember, last year, too, he started out gangbusters.
Awesome.
Gangbusters.
And then a lot of people thought, well, I can play him all year long.
Right.
I'll trade my QB2.
Sure.
And that hurt.
Right.
Well, here's the reason that you might not want, because I'm looking at the schedule right now.
Yeah, I just pulled that up,
Ooh,
too.
Hit me.
It's juicy.
He's got the Chiefs, the Jaguars. There's a game
that
against
helps.
Denver, which
that helps.
Well, you'll know the name against Denver.
Yeah, yeah.
But another Chiefs. Oh, the Dolphins have been shaky.
And the Raiders.
The Raiders.
Oh.
So the schedule.
Oh.
And because they can't run the football.
Yeah, they're going to chuck it.
They still got to throw it 40 times a game.
Like, honestly, 42 attempts for Rivers is low.
Right.
No, you're right.
He'll probably get back up to 50.
Well, there you go. There's your analysis. Friends,
boom,
so.
Right there.
Jay Cutler had a great game too. He had the pick six, but man, what a great play!
He's had four like pretty good games in a row.
I mean, can we start? Can we start stop dumping on Jay Cutler?
Absolutely.
You gonna play him against the Rams?
Well, no, but what I'm saying is
he has been good lately.
He's been good,
yep.
No doubt. He's been an easy punchline for a really long time.
Agree.
You know, it's always fun to throw the smoking Jay Cutler gifts up there and stuff when he does something. But dude is playing some really good football right now.
He played poorly to start the season, but after he came back from his hammy injury, he has not had fewer than 17 fantasy points, which is not amazing, but that's a good.
No,
he's never had more than 20. But he hasn't had fewer than 17.
And last night started off bad, too. He had the fumble. He had the pick six.
Yep.
You're like, oh, old Jay Cutler is back. But he finished strong.
He rebounded.
I feel as if you had a combo of Jay Cutler and Jameis Winston, you're okay playing the matchups for the rest of the year.
For sure. We should probably move on, though. We spent a healthy amount of time on this game.
So there you go. So we love Langford.
Alex is the podcast watchdog.
He is.
That's my job back here.
I love it.
All right, top headlines. Let's do it.
The camera highlights in the world of sports.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Wilson's the woo!
I like turtles.
We continue to follow breaking news.
Watch the news because I'm a kid.
So y'all need to hide your kids, hide your wife.
We did forget to mention Alshon Jeffrey, 10 catches, 151 yards. Bennett had 57
nice game.
Receiving yards and a touchdown.
He saved me from losing to Damashek.
Oh, gosh. There
Damashek
you go.
Started
right, so your first top headline is Deion Lewis tore an ACL. The initial report was so weird that his ACL was loose.
I didn't see that.
That was the initial report. It was so bizarre.
Yep, it's weird.
Like, that's not a medical condition, a loose ACL. Deion Lewis tore his ACL officially. He's out for the rest of the year.
Makes me so sad.
I know. It is sad.
What is this year, man? The injuries to running backs.
It's crazy.
Ridiculous. Like, I look at my waiver wire. The top three guys, Le'Veon Bell, Jamal Charles, Arian Foster. Now you got Deion Lewis is going to pop up on
Jamal
the waiver
Charles.
Wire.
It's
so ridiculous.
Yeah,
this
it's
season.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
What to do here? I know that I'd love to try to figure out Bell tricks at this point. LeGarrette Blount, I assume we'll see an uptick, but
a tiny one. But they don't ever use him in the passing game.
Right, so who do we target
here? Brandon Bolden.
Well, the big question is...
Or is it James White?
Exactly. Is it Brandon Bolden or James White? I think both are waiver ads this week because you just don't know. Bolden's the more all-around versatile player, that you know Belichick likes that. He can play on special teams. He caught a touchdown on the same route Deion Lewis dropped his on last week.
Okay.
However, James White is the shiftier, natural pass-catching back who, in the game when Deion Lewis was out, played the most snaps of any Patriots running back.
Oh, no.
So basically, it's that shrug emoji. You grab both, and we see what happens.
You can also use I'll give you someone to target this week and sort of see if it sticks, is Joik Bell. Right? You would think after the bye week, he's a little bit healthier. Okay. Amir Abdullah has not done anything this year.
Based on Jack.
I wouldn't mind stashing Bell and kind of seeing if the Lions use him a little bit more.
I mean, they did use him a little bit more in that last game, and he had one good run, and then he had a bunch of other one-yard flops.
But the fantasy streets are a rough place right now at the running back position.
But do we want to get on the Detroit Lion fantasy streets?
Those are dangerous streets, man.
We'll see what happens.
It's
a flyer. It makes me want to throw up, but it's worth a flyer.
All right, so there you go. You know, I know a lot of folks were going to rush to go get Brandon Bolden, right, because he scored the touchdown. But you're right, James White certainly has – and, you know, and someone brought up a great point, too, that Brandon Bolden plays special teams, so that's why he was activated for that game. Now that there's a roster spot open there for Deion Lewis's injury, James White should be activated.
They both should be more, yeah.
So we shall see. But, either one of those guys, I wouldn't spend a high waiver priority on.
No. Sure. Don't spend a ton of fab. Don't spend a high waiver priority. Right. But scoop him up if you can later in the week.
All right, so how about Big Ben? He's out multiple weeks, reportedly, with a mid-foot sprain. What's the impact here on Antonio Brown? I know a lot of Antonio
Brown. He's not going to get 16 catches again.
23 targets.
Whatever it was.
It's not as bad as if it were Mike Vick. Because when Mike Vick is the only player in the NFL who could shut down Antonio Brown. He proved that. Brown didn't score more than six fantasy points in the three games where Vic was the primary quarterback for the Steelers.
So not too worried about
Brown? It's not ideal. At least Landry Jones is going to look to Brown. He's not going to put up the same numbers he would have with Roethlisberger out there on the field. But it's if it were Vic, I'd be afraid to start Antonio Brown. Landry Jones, I'm not as afraid.
Yeah, I mean, the last time Jones got the full start against the Chiefs, Brown went over 100 yards and Martavis had a 19-yard touchdown. So they can both still succeed with Jones, but it's just not as exciting. You know, I saw a sad stat, too, that Ben Roethlisberger, Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown, and Martavis Bryant were all in the field together for, like, a mere 16 snaps.
Wow. That is rough.
That's so sad.
That is very sad. All right, so you guys aren't worried about Martavis either?
Well, Jones actually looked to Martavis when they had that when they had that connection going on.
Dude, it's
in
that
the
backup,
game where
backup
Big Ben
love.
Got hurt, and then in Kansas City, Martavis scored a touchdown. So,
yeah, I don't know that.
He's not as like every week lock him in as a wide receiver two. Yeah. He might slip down to more of like flex talk. Yeah.
All right, there you go. How about I did wonder about D'Angelo Williams too because look, I know he looked fabulous, but you got to figure with Landry in there. They're going to stack the box, no? I got to think that's going to impact D'Angelo Williams a bit.
I don't know that I'm really worried about it. I think we all kind of agree is that when it came to handcuffs for fantasy running backs in the preseason, I feel like there was the smallest drop-off from Le'Veon Bell to D'Angelo Williams. I feel like that was kind of the closest gap between the two. So, having a big stacked front, I guess there's some reason for concern, but I have enough confidence in D'Angelo Williams in that running game that they'll be fine.
All right. The Rams have signed the mighty Wes Welker.
Yeah.
That's all we need.
That's about as much excitement as you're going to get out of it.
Right. So I wanted to put on here, too, because people might be going out and trying to pick him up, recognize the name. Don't do it. The worst thing for him was actually like signing with the Rams because Wes Welker needs a timing accurate quarterback.
Right.
None of those words describe Nick Foles.
No. Nick Foles, the master of the 7-step drop and throw out of bounds.
I watched a little bit of that Rams Vikings game from
Sorry
Sunday.
For you.
It was like bizarro football. I mean, first off, the score was 18-15 for the longest time, which
solid.
New NFL math is stupid. It is. It's just stupid.
I mean, that's how I learned to count when I was a kid, right? By sevens and threes. Yeah.
New NFL math is stupid. The Rams play bizarro football. I don't understand anything they do. It hurts my brain to watch.
So we will move on. Wes Welker, not worth the pickup. Sammy Watkins, despite dealing with a sore ankle. Oh, my gosh. Best game of the season for Sammy Watkins.
That
scared
impressive.
Me, too. And you know what? I think people are going to get into the trap of, oh, he was great. I got to play him this week. Road game, short week, Darrell Revis.
Not looking good.
I have him in our league, and I don't know that
all
I'm
right,
playing
but before,
him.
Before we get caught up in this Darrell Revis narrative, I mean, let's go back and look at the last couple of weeks. Because 2 weeks ago, I mean, Mari Cooper didn't have a huge game, but he made some plays on Revis. So it's
first
possible.
Half. How many
first
fantasy half. Points did he score?
Doesn't matter. First he half, made first plays half. On Revis.
Well, and what do you mean it doesn't matter? That's
no,
what we're
and,
here.
No, no, I agree. But to Marcus's point, though, it's not like the pass game got shut down.
He had 4.8 points.
I hear you, and it was mostly in the first half. But again,
the point is, plays can be made. But plus, and then last week, Allen Robinson was all over the place against Darrell Revis. So it's not as though he's just locking dudes down left and right. I mean, there are plays that
Julian
be had.
Edelman do against him.
There are plays
okay,
that can be had.
Okay,
but Julian Edelman's not the same receiver as Amari Cooper, Allen Robinson, and Sammy Watkins. They're different players.
Right, I mean, Watkins is – and Robinson –
there are plays to
I think
be
Robinson
had.
Is a faster player, so Revis could potentially
he's a faster player
a little
he's
bit
a, he's
against
a bigger
him.
Player.
Sammy Watkins has got a little bit of an ankle, didn't hinder him last week. But I'm just saying, man, Darrell Revis – you're going to throw
scared.
Darrell Revis.
Don't be scared.
I'd say
– don't be scared.
I am not playing him.
Don't be scared.
Look at Sammy in the flex because he's if going against Revis, it's probably a boom or bust game. He could roast him for a 40-yard touchdown, or it's going to be a battle and he's going to get five catches for 40 yards.
I'm torn on it, honestly.
But Ty God is back.
I'm torn on it because here's the deal. I know Sunday we gave probably the worst possible fantasy advice, and to be fair, I followed my own advice and I benched Sammy Watkins for Dorial Green-Beckham.
Ooh. He still got you 7 points, some points.
I know, but
I benched him for Jordan Matthews, so I didn't get that
not too
big
much
of a
drop off
a kick. But yeah,
and we told people to bench Sammy Watkins because we were really worried about the injured ankle. He wasn't, you know, being fully utilized in the offense yet. To me, Sammy Watkins is a guy that if you start feeding him, he starts heating up. But he's not that Martavis Bryant type dude, right? Where like if you get him the ball one time, he just explodes out. For a big old gain. So I think I see frustration with Sammy Watkins. I think that's what I see. And when a receiver's frustrated, not terribly effective. So, I don't know what to do there.
I don't mind him this week. It also helps that Percy Harvin is out of the picture.
True.
And Sammy Watkins doesn't have to compete as much for targets.
That's
so,
true.
So I think he is naturally going to get fed more by how the offense works and now his connection with Tyrod. So
you've talked me into it.
Right.
Talk me into it. I'm playing Sammy Watkins.
There we go.
I like it. Teddy Bridgewater suffered a nasty-looking concussion. I mean, he was laid out cold for a few seconds. Scary to see that stuff. His back of his head slammed into the turf, and he was just knocked out. Knocked out cold. He's going through the concussion protocol. They say
he already passed his first test,
right?
Which
so
is a
they
great
say
sign.
He should be good to go for Sunday. He's got a fabulous matchup against the Oakland Raiders. I guess I'm just not that confident in Bridgewater. He's really not had that many great games anyway.
No, he hasn't.
No, I'm just watching him. The one thing that I've noticed is that he's just not accurate. That was supposed to be one of his big strengths.
I know.
Is how accurate he was, but he's kind of been all over the place so far.
If you need to pick up a quarterback off the waiver wire this week, Joe Flacco is the play.
Yeah?
He will be in my top 10 quarterbacks this
week.
Okay. He's averaged over 20 fantasy points a game at home, and he's playing the Jags.
Yes, that's
good. And I don't care that Steve Smith is out.
Great, it's a good spot start.
I will play him if I can pick him up. If I need a quarterback, I will play him with all the confidence in the world.
You mentioned Jordan Matthews as a play over Sammy Watkins. He had that one really nice big play, but overall they were utilizing him more. And you know the drops did not impact him finally against that Dallas secondary. How much do you trust Jordan Matthews moving forward?
I don't.
Wow, that was quick.
I don't. Well, I mean, let's put this into perspective. I mean, he did nothing after the first two games of the year, and then if it wasn't for the overtime, if it wasn't for Dan Bailey making that lucky field goal where it hit the upright and went through, if it wasn't for Ryan Matthews' fumble that was overturned, Jordan Matthews does not get those 10-plus points in overtime, and he gave you another stinker.
Yeah, but like you always say, you can't take that away from him.
Well, no, but it was – typically you're not getting overtime. typically you're not getting a fifth
right.
period
I wanna,
to score points.
I'm with Fabs. I want to see him. I want to see him do it again. Actually, I don't even know if I own Jordan Matthews in any leagues, but if I was an owner, I would like to see him at least get utilized more again before I start trusting him every week as a wide receiver two again.
It's just to me, it's just whether or not he can catch the ball. I know it seems pretty obvious.
He was better.
But he didn't have any drops.
He didn't have any drops.
His two best games have come against the Cowboys. And he's not playing the Cowboys.
Maybe that tells you something.
I just wonder at some point, maybe it's not in his skill set, but I see a guy, 6'3", good size, good speed, long arms.
Uh-huh.
Why they keep using him as a slot receiver?
Because that's all he does.
I mean,
they can't play him outside.
Can't they teach him how to play outside? I just feel like, and Chip Kelly knows more than I do, just ask him.
Yeah.
It just feels like they're wasting a guy who could be something more than what he is. And I feel like him just exclusively being a slot receiver is kind of limiting to who he is.
I would tend to agree with you in most traditional offenses. But as you know, Marcus, because you followed the Pac-12 for so long, Chip Kelly's offense likes to go short a lot. And so I think that's why they kind of want to get the ball in the hands of their best player, which would be, well, I guess theoretically it'd be Jordan Matthews, their best wide receiver anyways, right? So, like, if you move him into the slot, you kind of like the fact that he's able to be in all these different formations, and they theoretically should be able to utilize him. It's just
The trouble is they need an outside threat. Like,
right.
A lot of teams are learning this year, or they're realizing that without that outside threat, you can't run an offense through a slot receiver.
No.
Packers are having that trouble with Randall Cobb when they didn't have Adams or Nelson. They're having an issue. The Eagles are. The Dolphins had that issue with Jarvis Landry.
Right.
Like, you need that threat outside. That's why Jordan Matthews was so good last year, was because
Jeremy Maclin was taking the deep. Like,
but when that
exactly.
when that attention shifts into the middle and it takes away his combo routes and his other ones, I forget what it's called, the ones where he can go different directions and stuff, that's shutting him down. So they need to do more to get him open. And if this is what this is the result of that them doing that, then great.
Bro, you don't believe in Miles Austin?
Nope.
No.
Miles.
Okay.
Austin.
All right. Sorry. All right. We move on. How about in Green Bay? Eddie Lacy, -1 fantasy points in standard. Not great. James Starks, meanwhile, exploded again. I think 15 plus fantasy points. I want to say he had 18 in standard. But he looked again like the much more effective back. I don't know how.
18.2.
I don't know how you play Eddie Lacy ever again. Until
ever
he,
again, like
no,
this
for
year
the
re- or
for
the
rest
of
the year,
his life.
maybe for the rest of his life. I'm not sure.
He needs to ride the pine until further notice.
I think, but I'm saying in real life too, though.
Oh Alan. No, he. I okay. Here's the thing: as the one who watches this team the most and
religiously
has the most for his entire life, this I think the offense is going to start turning towards James Starks more, just because whether it is Eddie Lacy over late. Ankle effects. He's not running as well as he has in the past. There, and Mike McCarthy said it this week in the press too. I don't think they're going to abandon him either because he is a talented player that has produced for them in the past. But this is probably going to start turning more into a 60-40 split in James Starks' favor. That's why I had him as the number one waiver wire pickup because he acquitted himself super well this past week too. In all the things that you need to see the field more, like pass protection, he picked up great blitzes off of Thomas Davis. He had soft hands catching the ball out of the backfield because he had 83 yards. Like, neither he nor Lacy really got it going on the ground because Starks only had 39 yards too. But this is probably still going to be a backfield split. I think it will start favoring Starks, though, because they have to go with the more productive player.
Right, and I think that's the thing. It starts to become a real-world issue with the Packers and Vikings. They're tied atop the division right now, so you're worried about winning the division, and so it isn't about, hey, we got to get Eddie Lacy going. I think that time passed a couple of weeks
ago. Do you think there's something to the whole Alabama running backs thing?
Like,
no.
Like,
Trent Richardson.
There's an
comes
Alabama
into the
running
league,
back that's the number
well.
Two. That's number two in fantasy scoring.
You know,
no.
Like, right.
Sure. TJ Yeldon is number two?
Mark Ingram.
Oh.
first, 4 years, he did nothing.
I was like, what?
I'm just saying that they run the ball a lot in Alabama. Maybe those guys come into the league and they're not as fresh as some of the other kids that.
Might be true, but Mark Ingram's playing well. TJ Yeldon playing well as well.
Well, he's a rookie, right. I'm saying. You know, after a couple of years, like,
well, it took
Trent
Mark Ingram
Richardson.
A couple of years, though, because
it
I
took
think
4 years.
I know, right?
The thing with him was he said he came in and didn't know how to be like a professional. So that's why if you're in Dynasty 2, I mean, maybe jump ship on Lacy, but I would kind of hold out hope that maybe he is one of those awakenings like Mark Ingram did and is like, oh, wow, because next year is a contract year for Lacy.
Oh,
so
I would pick him up. I mean, I love him for next year.
Next year, because hopefully next year he comes in a little more shredded, ready to work.
No, he will
and
come
get that
in
and
shape.
get that payday. So
you know he's going to come in
for the rest of the season. Starks is probably every week flex.
The question really becomes, if that's the case, look, I don't think you drop Eddie Lacy this week.
Can't.
Because he's had two really, really tough matchups. I'd love to hold on to him for next week and kind of see what he looks like next week.
Right? You're making excuses for him, though, bro. He's had good matchups and has done nothing.
Nothing. Of all people in this room, I'm not making excuses for Eddie Lacy. Trust me.
It would not be James to make excuses. the thing is, though, too. This is also why you can't drop Lacy, because he's one James Starks bad step off the bus away from being the featured back again.
Good point.
The one week
he was the featured back when he wasn't injured, he scored like 16 fantasy points. That was week one.
See, he's been the featured back 1 week all year long.
Because he got injured.
But he's been the featured back 1 week this year.
And the one week he did, he produced. But he was injured after that.
I mean, the thing about it is, if he is the featured back, it's hard to go away from him because, as we keep talking, how many featured backs are left in this league?
Yeah, there's maybe five. Maybe five.
So that's why you can't drop him.
I'm not saying to cut him, but I mean,
I definitely would not say cut him.
He gets back a featured role, you're putting him in your lineup and you don't have much confidence.
But James Starks, absolutely your top waiver wire ad. And again, as we mentioned,
is it him or Carlos Williams?
Oh gosh.
Because Carlos Williams is producing even with McCoy on the field.
We might as well just talk about that now.
We can jump to waivers.
Here's the thing. We'll wrap it up into this, right? So we're talking top headlines here. Okay, so fine. It's LeSean McCoy dealing with a shoulder injury. How do you like that? He's reportedly good to go. He's not going to even get an MRI on the shoulder. He says he feels fine. Short week, though. So you got to figure they're going to limit his they would limit his workload a bit in this upcoming game. Maybe try to get him back to 100%. I think for this week, Carlos Williams will be a pretty solid play. As you mentioned, Fabs, 9 carries in his previous game on Sunday for over 100 yards.
Yeah, man.
Well, here's the thing.
He's a guy who produces when he's out there.
Right. I wrote this up in the waiver wire column. In games this year where he's received 12 or fewer touches, he's finished as the RB21, the RB18, RB11, and RB3.
That's amazing.
In standard scoring with 12 or fewer touches.
That's crazy. It's crazy.
So I'd have him and Starks as the top two, but it seems like Starks might be more, in line for a bigger workload. That's where I'd go after him first.
I think that's where I'm kind of sort of leaning. I mean, it's hard to rely on a guy who's just getting that few touches, right?
I mean, he's producing on that few touches, doing stuff. Granted,
he's putting up numbers.
He is a huge candidate to like regress from his touchdown production,
right?
Though. So that's the fear. But I mean, until it stops,
I mean, 9 carries, 2 touchdowns.
let's put it this way:
he's entering David Johnson type levels here. This is ridiculous.
At the numbers, okay? When he's played,
okay,
11.5 points, 11.7, 24, 16, and 28. I mean, like that's like ridiculous bongo type of that's PPR. Let me look at his
he's
been pretty good.
He's been fabulous. I would caution managers only because I think about David Johnson too, right? Like you think about what he was doing early on in the season with limited touches, also producing, but it's so hard to trust a guy who's only getting 9
standard 11.5, 9.7, 17, 13, and 23.
It's amazing. It's amazing what he's doing on that.
He's like, you remember Anton Smith last year?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, that dude was touching the ball on a minimal basis and scoring, like, a 50-yard touchdown.
That's what I mean.
When he got his carry in the game last night, I looked at Harmon, I was like, he didn't score?
it was sort of shocking, right? Like,
Carlos Williams has scored a touchdown in every game he's played.
That's why he's a massive candidate to regress from that scoring. So, but he's a great ad. Other ads, like we mentioned, Stevie Johnson, Dontrell Inman, because somebody's got to catch passes in San Diego.
Looks like DGB's getting a little bit more work. He did nothing in the first half. Lot of production in the second half. 77 yards for DGB.
He's so talented, and they're finally putting him on the field more. I read an article where they said that he's raw. He's super raw. So they had been working him into the offense a lot more. They had to scale it back because they were almost going a little overboard with like throwing all the concepts and stuff at him. But he's such a sneaky ad right now because if he starts to get it going down the stretch, I mean, you know him from college. He's like 6'5", 230. Right.
Ridiculous athlete.
Like, freak athlete. So, and he is like the best wide receiver on the Titans. So if he starts getting used more.
You know me. Ooh, I like athletes, man.
Look out.
I would shout out his 40 time, but we'll not do that.
Next section, Ravens pass catchers. Like Fabs pointed out, with them playing the Jags, they've
Aiken,
got a good matchup. Aiken's going to be their number one.
Yeah.
The sneaky guy. Chris Givens, they traded for him earlier this year from St. Louis.
Okay.
He will fill that role they wanted Breshad Perriman to do.
The vertical the
stretch,
route?
Stretch the field role.
Okay.
He's a speedy guy, so he's a deep flex if you're hoping for the home run shot. And then my boy Crockett Gilmore.
Yeah, Crockett. Love it.
We're Crockett Gilmore into this show. He's taking over for Chris Ivory. He's the guy who gets on the show.
He's one of my heroes. And then the last one, this is a sneaky ad, but if you're in a deep league or you stream quarterbacks and all the other good ones are gone, don't be afraid to fire up Captain Kirk this week.
Okay.
You like that? You like that?
Yeah.
You didn't do it. I was going to do it.
He is playing the Saints defense that has been torched.
Just destroyed.
Absolutely torched the last couple weeks. So
I love that the Saints have gone back to old school Saints, right? Where they're just tossing the rock around and they
like
can't.
The scoreboard's like a pinball machine.
I know, and they can't defend the pass, but the Saints offense is keeping up. It's fun football to watch, but man, it's interesting because, you know, we were talking about early in the season where Drew Brees was much more of a game manager. They were running the ball a lot. They get down the goal line, and Mark Ingram was seeing a lot of work. Ingram, again, had a pretty good game, but it would have been nice if he had gotten a couple of goal line looks, no?
It would have been. You know, the thing about Mark Ingram is he's been just steady and just kind of quietly doing his thing.
Yeah.
Like he doesn't necessarily have huge weeks.
He's like a souped-up Danny Woodhead.
Kind
of
is.
Where he, like, except instead of the lowers, he's averaged, like, 12 points every week.
You know, it's just he's just kind of cruising along. You know, you're not really paying much attention. He and Matt Forte, I mean, so Forte got hurt because Forte was kind of the same.
Sure.
We didn't talk about either of those guys.
100%.
But they were just kind of doing their thing every single week. And you plugged 100%. Them in and you knew you were going to get double-digit points from them.
You know what's so funny? Sometimes on fantasy shows, and I know we're guilty of it too, we sometimes ignore the really good players. The really good players, not the great players or the standout performances. We definitely praise those all day long. And of course, if you're a fantasy disappointment, we will take you to task. Like we did in yesterday's show to poor Eddie Lacy. I apologize. Not really, but that's okay. But yeah, no, I mean it's those plus guys that aren't necessarily great, but really, really good that we kind of sort of ignore. I think Mark Ingram and as you mentioned, Matt Forte did not get nearly enough love on NFL Fantasy Live this year, but that's okay. All right, let's play a little game of Flex, Marry, or Cut, shall we?
Woo-hoo.
First one, Barnyard Dog, Ben Watson, Delanie Walker.
Well, let's real quick, let's go back. So the rules for those that didn't hear us play this in the offseason is we list three players all about the same area of production at the same position, and we have to flex one, marry one to our roster for the rest of the year, and cut one. So it's a harkening back to games some kids play. But in fantasy terms,
I don't know of this game.
Flex, marry, or cut.
I don't know of this game that you are referencing here. Flex, marry. I do know flex, marry, or cut, though.
Yes,
I think they
flex,
play
marry,
a version
cut.
Of this game on the Howard Stern show quite often.
They might.
I don't know of what you
all right.
speak of.
Who wants to who wants to tackle this tight end conundrum first?
Barnyard Dog, Ben Watson, Delanie Walker, the master of catching tip passes.
This is... Man.
They're designed to not be easy.
I know, this is really not easy.
When I was concocting these yesterday.
All right, we know where I'm going. I'm marrying Barnyard.
Woo-woo.
We know that I'm marrying Barnyard. By the way, there's a Twitter handle or a fan of the podcast who has named his team. Oh, wait, no, it's not the fan. I met a guy out in the streets. Oh, my gosh.
In these fantasy streets.
Dude,
huh?
I met a dude out in the streets. I was out on a Saturday at a place that serves adult beverages. And this dude was like, oh, my gosh, hey, I love your show. I'm like, I couldn't tell if he was being serious or not. Anyways, he shows me his team name, and it's the Barnyard Dogs.
That's awesome.
That was great. Anyway, so, yes, I'm marrying Barnyard. I will flex Ben Watson, and I will cut Delanie Walker. There's only so many tip passes you can catch.
Are we talking about this week or the rest of the season?
Rest of the season.
Rest of the season.
ROS, baby.
Yeah, I'm probably going to go with Co there.
All right.
I agree with Co. I don't know. I feel like I may be...
All right, well, I'm going to put peer pressure on Marcus because Co's decision was my decision as well.
Well, I think I may flex Barnyard and maybe marry Ben Watson.
Ooh. Oh, okay.
You believe in that passing game.
One, I believe in the passing game.
Yeah.
Two, I don't know what the Browns are doing at the quarterback position.
Oh,
if you could guarantee me, if you could guarantee me that Josh McCown is going to be their starter all year long,
okay.
Then I would probably flip that the other way.
Right.
But you know, knowing that it could be Manziel the rest of the way makes me a little more nervous about Gary Barnage.
You know,
You bring it? Ooh, man, now you see. Why you got to bring real life? That makes it tough. All right.
All right, good decisions.
All right, we'll move on. Jonathan Stewart, DeMarco Murray, Charmander West. Has he evolved yet?
He's going to get Charizard.
Yeah, he's probably actually at Charizard levels right now.
Charizard West. Charcandrick West, Jonathan Stewart, or DeMarco
Fabs,
Murray?
You're the king of the running backs over here, so who do you choose on this one?
Well, I'm going to marry DeMarco. He hasn't been as good as he was last year, but he's still
getting back in bed with the old flame from the Cowboys days.
Yeah. He's been doing okay.
Yeah, you know what? He broke my heart, but that's all right. I'm a forgiving type of person. I am going to flex. Wow. You know what? I'm going to flex Charcandrick West.
Of course you are.
I was like, how could you go away
Jonathan
from Charizard?
Jonathan Stewart. Oh, there you go.
That's it.
I like it.
That's it.
I like it. Anybody?
I'll jump in while Marcus
go
decides.
Go for it. Yeah,
please.
You go for it.
This is very tough. Going to marry Jonathan Stewart, though. He's been my boy this offseason.
Wow!
He's finally getting his work. He had a tough game against the Packers, but he still had over 20 carries. And he'd been playing really well beforehand.
Yeah.
Flex DeMarco Murray. No, you know what? Flex Charmander West.
Yeah! There
Just
you
because
go.
DeMarco hasn't been that efficient. I saw him on the trainer table last week for a split second. He was getting heart palpitations. Plus, I think Ryan Matthews is the better running back in that offense. So, Jonathan Stewart. Charcandrick West, you're coming with me. DeMarco Murray, hit the brakes.
Dude, I'm going to – I tell you right now, I'm going to marry Charmander.
Oh, all right.
I'll tell you, Ryan, I'm so high on Charmander, man. I just am. You know, I think about Andy Reid and you know, they say he's an offensive guru. He totally is. But, man, what he's been able to do for running backs especially.
His whole offense funnels through him.
Exactly. I just love the skill set that Charizard brings to the table. I will marry him wholeheartedly and happily. And I will flex DeMarco Murray, who was horrible for the first 3 weeks of the season. But over the last few weeks, I think he's figured out the offense. I think Chip Kelly has figured out a way to get him the ball and for them to kind of have a happy balance there between spread offenses and power run game. And I like the prospects for DeMarco. He really hasn't been as bad as advertised.
Oh, no, he's been fine. It was a tough decision, but I had to go with my boy Jay Stu.
And Jay Stu, I'm sorry, my man, but you're going to have to get cut from Team Co.
Man. Well, I'm going to go – I think I'm going to – man, this is really hard.
Marcus.
I might have to jump on with Gelhar. I think I might have to, you know – walk down the aisle with Jay Stu here because the Panthers, I mean, they really love running the ball. And as well as
absolutely.
Cam Newton is
they are still the number one running offense.
This is a run-based offense right now, and Stewart has run really well. I'm flexing DeMarco Murray just because they're starting to give him a lot of touches now. You know, and I think that's what Chip Kelly's realized is that he's a volume guy. As much as I think Ryan Matthews is a more talented, better running back, Murray's getting the touches. So it is with great sadness that I have to say goodbye.
Charmander?
To Charcandrick.
No.
That was a good one. We all had different decisions.
I know. It was good. All right. Brandon Cooks, Stephon Diggs, Jarvis Landry.
The small but efficient wide receivers.
I do like this one.
Yeah, that is a tough one, dude. Mm-hmm. That is a tough one. So who's going first?
I'll go first.
Oh, go for it.
I'll go first. You know what?
MG, hit me.
I'm going to flex Brandon Cooks because I do like what the Saints have been doing the last couple of weeks. It looks like they're getting back to it. I think Willie Snead's still going to be a part of the offense, but Cooks is making plays again.
I agree.
Look, man, I said at the beginning of the year I was ride or die with Jarvis Landry. I'm sticking with it. And because they find ways to get him the football, you know, even if the offense isn't necessarily clicking, they still find ways to get him the football. And if you have him in a league where you get points for, like, returns and touchdowns and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
You can still do something. I like Stephon Diggs. I'm so-so on Teddy Bridgewater in that offense right now. So I gotta cut him.
Gelhar, what do you think?
If you're cutting Stephon Diggs, I'll bring him on down. I think I'm going to marry him.
Rest
of the season.
Wow!
No, actually, he's got too tough of matchups. Oh, God, this is hard. I was just thinking about his schedule. He's still got to play the Cardinals, still got to play the Seahawks. Actually, you know what? I think I might have to marry Jarvis Landry, flex Cooks, and cut Diggs, too. I was going to go the other direction, but I talked myself out of it.
You know what?
I'm going to go,
Warriors! Come out and play. I'll go with Stephon Diggs.
Okay.
What is that reference to?
It's from the movie The Warriors.
It's from the movie The Warriors.
You'll have to watch it, Fab.
The guy comes out and says, "Can you dig it?" That's basically the reference to Stephon Diggs.
Okay.
We could also go five time.
See, I get that one.
I like that one.
I get the
I like both.
Gee.
I like both, but the high-pitched Warriors scream is...
much better for an audio podcast.
It's slightly funnier. okay, but we'll move on. No, I will... I'll tell you right now. I'm starting to believe in Brandon Cooks again. I'm going to marry Brandon Cooks, believe it or not. I think he's got his early season troubles behind him. I think Drew Brees is slinging that rock again. He looks extremely accurate, and I love the fact he's just putting it on Brandon Cooks. He's making it so that Brandon Cooks cannot drop these passes. That's how accurate it is. For me to pick Cooks, it's more of a endorsement of Drew Brees for the rest of the season. So I will marry Brandon Cooks. I'm going to flex Warriors, Stephon Diggs. And believe it or not, I will say, cut Jarvis Landry.
Okay, this one was very close.
It's a very close.
I was actually, before I talked myself out of it, I was leaning cutting Landry too.
Wow. And the only reason I say that is because I don't necessarily believe in Tannehill. We talked about the problems in the offense, and I think they want to get Lamar Miller a little bit more involved.
They always do.
Which I'm fine with that.
Yeah, so I think Jarvis will take somewhat of a backseat. In PPR, obviously, Jarvis Landry still would be a marry for me. Mm-hmm. But I think in standard leagues, I'll say cut.
All right, Fabs, what say you?
Well, I mean, who is a bigger supporter of Brandon Cooks than I was?
You got to marry him. You got to hitch your wagon to that.
You know, I'm going to get down on one knee.
Yeah.
Propose to Cooks. I am going to flex Landry. And I like Diggs, but I'm cutting him.
Okay.
Tough break for Diggs.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like
cutting him.
All right. I'll hit this next segment quick because I'm coding the articles as soon as we get done with the podcast. But our good friend Chris Anthony of FantasyOmatic.com, he has a one-of-a-kind algorithm that helps get sort of advanced in different looks at player ratings, takes a lot more things into factor than simply fantasy points against. So he has an article of players to trade for who have a very –
Favorable
schedule the rest of the season, including the fantasy playoffs. And he has a list of players to potentially trade away or use as trade bait to get some of these other players.
All right.
So I guess what we'll do, I'll throw out a couple of these names and see what you guys think about them for this.
Well, let me just start off by saying he's saying trade away Adrian Peterson. Well, that's the headline.
That is one of the headlines, yes. However, he says you can use Adrian Peterson and trade him away to only do it if you're going to get a couple good pieces that you really need back. Because, like I said before when I was thinking about Diggs, Peterson has to go up against the Seahawks still, the Cardinals, the Packers, who have been playing better against the run, but he traditionally gashes them. So let's look. I don't have the article in front of me, but let's look at the rest
of the schedule. But let's say you had Adrian Peterson, and he's saying you should trade for Blake Bortles, TJ Yeldon. He likes the Jags schedule the rest of the way. And he's also saying Randall Cobb and Mike Evans.
Yes.
Trade for those guys. So let me say you had Adrian Peterson. Would you, Fabs, would you make a trade if you had Adrian Peterson? I know you never do one for two, but just bear with me for a second.
Oh, I mean, I'm not.
Well, Fabs is getting the two. He'll like it.
So how about if you were trading away, would you trade away Adrian Peterson to bring in TJ Yeldon and Mike Evans?
No.
Nope. Wouldn't do it.
I don't love either of those players like that. I just don't.
I'm sure this guy has a.
There's some arguments for all these.
I don't listen to that stuff. Listen, it's right here, buddy. I've been doing this for a long time, and
he tapped his heart for.
Yeah,
those
that's right. That's right. No, there's no way in heck. And to trade for Alex Smith.
Yeah,
is there a more frustrating quarterback who can't exploit a good matchup, but will put up a good number against a really tough team.
Smith one was only because he has a good schedule during the playoffs
I didn't like
that one as much. Yeah. I like the idea of trading for Bortles. I agree with Cobb. He's got a much easier schedule coming up, and he just performed well against a tough matchup. The Packers seem committed to working him into other spots. He should have had another touchdown in the game, but Rodgers missed him. Travis Kelce and Greg Olsen are both good options for tight ends if you need to trade for them.
Absolutely.
And some of the other characters to trade away, Matt Ryan, agree with that.
Definitely.
Yeah, but you know what?
You don't need an algorithm to tell you that.
What can you get for him right now?
Well, hopefully you can trade his name value.
You're packaging him with something.
You're packaging.
Oh, I think I have him in our writers producers. I just straight dropped him.
And the Charles Clay one I thought was interesting too because all of his fantasy points came against his easiest matchup.
But no one's going to want him.
Charles Clay?
I mean, we don't know that.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
I do.
He's still, I mean, that's I you, do. But yeah, this I mean, is also, we're talking about standard leagues where people aren't into the stats as deeply as we are and into the game film and analysis. So
I mean, all you do is look at the numbers and think, okay, well, Charles Clay is really, you know, not.
Yeah, but if somebody goes to look at the numbers and sees Charles Clay is like a top 15 fantasy tight end who was injured a little bit, they might swing.
I would say a guy that's not on this list that you would trade away.
Okay.
I mean, you see Matt Ryan, I would trade Julio Jones.
What?
Partially because I don't really believe in Matt Ryan.
Norman.
And that's the big part. Two matchups against Norman. Two of his three playoff matchups are against the Carolina Panthers. And I know, you know, you're not going to sit Julio Jones. You're never going to really sit Julio Jones. But if I could bring some guys in,
okay,
that I think have better playoff matchups, like if I could somehow swing like a Julio Jones for, I don't know, maybe an Allen Hurns, and then you package Hurns with somebody else. Get myself a good receiver with some good playoff matchups. Maybe get another running back the other way. I would do that.
Oh man,
I would do that.
That's dangerous.
Saucy. That is saucy. I like it though. I like it a lot.
But yeah. So anyways, we'll have these up a little later today.
Okay.
You can check them out on NFL.com/fantasy. I don't know if we'll have a vanity URL or not, but they will be up. They will be out there. It's some good analysis. Something to think about if you're, you know, on the fence of getting into the fantasy playoffs. You might have to make some moves.
At the very least, it tells you who's got a favorable schedule.
Right.
The rest of the way.
That
definitely helps.
The best part of the information.
Fantasy-O-Matic is the partner there that we're working with at NFL.com/fantasy. All right, let's do Daily Dabs and get out of here.
Do it.
Extra, extra, read all about it.
This is the day.
Dabs and hugs.
Give me dabs because I be scribbling right.
Give me dabbing up, dabs abound, dabs up.
All right, Daily Dap time, our bi-weekly props to the world here. We'll start with Alex Gelhar. What you got for me, Wiz?
Well, mine, I had tweeted about it last night. It's a Twitter handle that I love. It's a great follow. I hadn't seen any pop in my timeline recently, so I went back and checked it out. It is Amazon Movie Reviews. You can find it at AMZN Movie Reviews.
Okay.
What it does is this Twitter profile just scans the Amazon DVD reviews for the most insane, hilarious reviews of movies and DVDs.
Please tell me you have
Oh, I've got a couple for
good,
us. But
good,
I tweeted about how it's one of my favorite follows on
it's
Twitter,
awesome.
And one of the listeners at John Tunger said, "Oh, it should give a Daily Dap ?" And I said, "That is a fantastic idea." So here's a small sampling: Star Wars Episode 4, A New Hope, 1 star. The Phantom Menace was better. This movie was the worst by far. There was only one lightsaber fight, and they didn't even do any spins and stuff.
Yeah.
Dude, you know what, though?
The Wolf of Wall Street,
okay.
1 star.
All right.
Not enough wolves. Maybe adding some CGI wolves would make it better.
You know what? That's not untrue. Maybe we have some wolves walking around the streets of New York. That might not be bad.
This one was great, too. Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, 2 stars. Monkeys. That's the entire review.
That's all they got.
Saw 4. This will be the last one. Saw 4. 1 star. Avoid this movie. I watched this movie and then my cat died. Was that supposed to happen? So this is a fantastic follow on Twitter. Every once in a while, one of these ridiculous reviews will pop up and it's just hilarious.
That
so it's always
stuff.
Always good for a laugh.
I do like that a lot. That's good stuff. I'm going to start following that guy.
It's totally worth
it. It's hilarious.
That's great. How about it, Marcus?
It's a couple real quick. One, Roddy White. This is kind of a reverse dap. He thought a tweet as we were doing this podcast. Says, you know your kids are getting old when you can no longer spend under $1,000 to cover all the B-Day gifts. # real life problems.
That's not a real life problem.
Bruh.
Real life problem.
That's not a real life problem.
That's not a real life problem.
There are plenty of people out there who, you know, don't have to worry.
He meant it ironically.
Maybe he did.
But I don't think so.
But my real dap, the newest and funniest meme out there that's not Philip Rivers' face.
Okay.
Confused Travolta.
Confused
what?
Travolta.
Confused Travolta. It is basically people have taken. It's a shot from Pulp Fiction.
Okay.
When he first gets to Mia Wallace's house to pick her up for dinner, and he's looking around trying to find where the intercom is and looking sort of confused.
Ah.
They have clipped that, and now he's being put into all sorts of different situations. So
such as, i.e.,
Vincent Vega arriving late to school and can't remember which class to go to. Vincent Vega finding the classroom, but the teacher locked the door because he's 30 minutes late.
Vincent Vega.
Vincent Vega going to a party but can't find any of his friends.
I, they, They also have done it like my reaction when I see one of him in a parking lot. I come out of the store and can't remember
where I parked my car.
So it's just him spinning
around. So it's him kind of spinning, looking around.
That happens to me all the time.
You go to theawesomedaily.com/confusedtravolta.
Confused Travolta.
It's great. I hadn't seen this yet. Thank you for bringing that into my life.
Yes.
Nice.
So there you go.
Nice. How about it, Fabs?
My dap goes to the people out there who decided that they were going to ban that.
What, Starbucks cups?
Starbucks cups.
Oh, you know, I've been reading a little bit about this. What is the deal here? I don't get it.
It's just to...
Why?
It just further proves how dumb we have become as a society.
Well, they haven't banned the cups yet.
No. But there are people...
They're calling for the ban.
Who want to ban people from actually purchasing coffee...
Out of these
Starbucks
red cups?
In these red cups.
Why?
Because they're holiday cups.
You're right.
And they don't
mention
anything about Christmas. And so then
they're
telling people.
So it's kind of an anti-dap then.
But
so you're saying.
It's an anti-dap.
What is it? The argument is that because it doesn't say anything about Christmas
that
Starbucks is anti-religious?
They're anti-Christian because they're not saying Christmas on their cups. I mean,
such a facepalm,
dude. There are so many more important things going on in the world
to worry about. Yeah,
than a stupid red cup,
man.
I mean, it is an anti. It isn't because I read that and I'm like, really. Really?
Really.
Listen, you know what? If people people want to believe or not want to believe, listen, man, we're all individuals. It's a cup. It's a cup.
It's a cup.
I'm done.
All right, cool.
Thanks.
Rant over.
Rant over. I like it. I'll give my daily dap to the football players over at Mizzou. The power of sport on full display there at the University of Missouri as the football team threatened to boycott practices, boycott games. It could have cost the university millions of dollars. And as a result, there was a lot of controversy around the resignation of the Missouri president. And there wasn't that much traction until the football team threatened to basically boycott games. And literally 48 hours after they threatened that boycott, he's gone. So it was, to me, an act of courage for them because, you know, they're putting their scholarships on the line. And really the way they kind of live life too. So, but they stood up for what they believed in. And in the end, they got what they wanted now.
And they got what was right. That's a good dap.
Yeah.
I think,
do I necessarily agree with the president stepping down? I'm not sure. That's more of a political statement. And the, if you kind of read all the details behind that, it's murky at best. It's murky at best. But that being said, the power of sport there, and for the college students, the football players, student athletes, to stand up for what they believe in, I will dap that.
Yeah, I think that's
very,
the best
very
part
cool
of
act of unity from that team, too,
yeah.
To you know, not
Barry
just
Pinkle,
have
the coach
right
standing behind his players. I'll daily dap him as well.
It was pretty awesome to see.
So there you go. All right, that's your daily daps, and that is your podcast for today. James Coe here with the Wiz Kid from Wisconsin, Alex Gellhar, MG Marcus Grant, and the Hall of Famer Michael Fabiano. Thanks for listening.